What kind of people are we, means you and I, considered to this world? Generally speaking, are we normal based on what we believe, or are we viewed as strange? You know, we are lucky ones, we are chosen ones, who get the first chance of knowing what it is like to live God's way of life. But only you and I, sitting here, and those of you listening in, know that. Majority of the world does not know that. They don't think we are the lucky and chosen ones based on our beliefs. Yet they have their own beliefs of what they think about us. But you know, we will be soon keeping the fall holy days, very soon from now, less than 2 weeks, while the rest of the world will continue on living the way they do without any concept of what this time that we will be celebrating even pictures. And yet, there is only a handful of us compared to the whole rest of the world that will be keeping what we're going to be keeping. So what sets us apart from those who are of this world and have not been called yet? Well, the Bible explains and God tests us continuously to see how strong we really are in His law, which is different or even considered strange to those who are not familiar with God's law. Are we reluctant in explaining what we believe when we are confronted by unbelievers that have questions about our beliefs? Because we don't want them to think that we are strange, or because we don't want to get into an argument. And that's usually the case. You don't want to get into an argument. But it is true that we shouldn't throw our precious knowledge to those who only seek to argue, just like casting our pearls before the swine, since what we have here is valuable. We have a gift of knowledge that's given to us by God, and that we are to use it wisely, and that we're not supposed to be using it for granted or taking it for granted. You know, those who truly want to know will ask in the right manner, but oftentimes it's not the case, but sometimes it is. We just don't know. How far do you want to go when you are asked a question about your beliefs? Do you answer abruptly? And I've done that many times. For example, someone asks me, do you celebrate Christmas? And I say no. And they say, why not? Because I don't. That's it. That's not going to get you very far. Probably going to want to know why. But I'm sure many of us have been in a situation like that. And oftentimes, especially from people you don't know, and they ask, and they're not going to listen to anything you say. But then again, how do you know that, right? But that is not the way we're supposed to answer. We don't just say no, and then you just turn around and walk away. You have to back it up a little bit more. It's like we have to have the knowledge of the truth, and we have to be vigilant, and we have to stand up for God's truth when we are asked. Remember, most of the time, they're only curious, and they want to know why we do what we do. And I have been asked many times about my beliefs, especially when it comes to Sabbath, why I don't do anything on Friday nights or on Saturdays, and it pretty much becomes repetitive at that point. And then I answer and explain why. And oftentimes, to my surprise, the reply wasn't, well, that's weird. That doesn't make any sense. How stupid is that? That's not the answer I get. And it is it's a curious thing. And they think about it. It's like, okay, well, that's interesting. All right, yeah. So it is quite the opposite of what I was expecting. But that doesn't mean they're going to believe what I tell them. No, because they're going to ask me the same question again, because they're going to forget what I just told them. That happened. But then again, repetition, then they do start to remember sooner or later. And then they start to remind you of it. It's like, oh, wait a minute. You can't do that Friday night because you keep the Sabbath. So it is interesting how it turns around and they start to remember these things. keep at it, is my point. Of course, they're not called. They do not understand. But the Bible is very consistent, and it does not contradict itself. God's law is peaceful. God's law is perfect. But God's law is also a mystery to this world. Notice Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery, which is the mystery of Christ, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. It's hopefully you and I. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, he lives in us, but he does that through the Holy Spirit. Verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, every man perfect in Jesus Christ. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily. Then continuing on in chapter 2, in verse 1, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So many do not understand. They read the scripture. Many do not understand what it's even talking about. And what I had read earlier in verse 28, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. So yeah, there are very intelligent people in this world. But when it comes to the Bible and their understanding, it's not even on the page, let's say. So we have that understanding, and we know to ourselves what kind of knowledge and wisdom that we have. And that's very important. And here we are preaching to the whole world what we understand through God, of course, giving us this understanding to do this. And one day, people will listen. They will understand. So we are called, and we are clean. At least we ought to live that way. But we live in an unclean world, ruled by Satan, and we know just how easy Satan can ensnare us. You know how easy he can test us. Just like he tested Christ when Christ was on this earth as a human being. But we have to act as Christ did. And we have to conquer Satan by doing the right thing, which we'll read about in the Bible. The Bible already tells us specifically what is clean and unclean when it comes to food. We read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 3 through 21. And also in Leviticus chapter 11. Yet it is amazing how many people don't even know about that. People that supposedly have read the entire Bible. And yet they still question, oh, can we eat that? Can we not eat that? Is that still invalid today? So they, you know, pick scriptures in the Bible and say, oh, it proves against that. But again, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So obviously, they do not understand what the scripture is saying. Satan has indeed corrupted this world. Satan is very, very intelligent. But we have to be smarter. We all used to be unclean. And then we were cleaned when we were baptized. And because we continually sin, we have to be cleansed again every year, which we do during the Passover. The Bible explains what we are not to do and that which is considered unclean. Since we're in Colossians, look at chapter 3. And verse 5 through 11, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Therefore, put to death, or in other words, get rid of, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The important thing to consider here, it's not what you look like or who you are, but it's what you understand. Anybody has the path to this knowledge and to live the way God wants us to. Anybody can do that. It's not going to pick and choose. Well, I mean, let's just say based on one race or religion, it says no. Everybody's going to have that chance. Let's continue on in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Deception is the word I am focusing on here. Deceiving you with empty words. Again, having these discussions with people that are not going to bring any fruit, and yet they are doing it for the sake of arguing or want to twist what the scripture is saying. But if you keep engaging into something like that over and over again, it could start to affect you. I mean, anybody can be affected by this. That's why we shouldn't partake with people like that. And we have to be vigilant and have to be aware of what we getting ourselves into. So all these things here is always going on in the world. And it will continue to happen until the end. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and starting verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, we already see this today, but it's going to get worse. But notice in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That can refer to anybody. That can refer to some of us in the church. And that's why, again, we have to be very aware of what situations we put ourselves into and making sure that Satan does not get the better of us. As we do go through trials, don't we? You know, without God's intervention, nobody would survive. And these are the kind of things that we are faced with in this world, and we may be tempted by it. But we need to always look to God for strength, because without Him, we are all alone. That is why we have to put away uncleanliness, which is our carnal mindset, fueled by Satan, And we have to do the opposite. We have to live God's way and remain clean. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. What's the opposite way of being the old man that we once knew or were? Is to be the new man. And we have to apply these traits. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then also in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And these are the very tests that we go through. They don't seem, to this world, it doesn't seem like a big deal. You don't get arrested for doing things like that. But to God, that is a very big deal, because that shows our character. We want to have a good character. This right here, or these good character traits, this is truly the way of peace. This is the guide to happiness. If we live this way, we will be happy. And we, the church, should all be happy now, because we know what our potential is and what our calling is all about. So let us continue to live this way of peace, and you will continue in happiness.